And I ask you to please stand as we take one of our hymns. My hope is built on nothing than Jesus, Lord, and righteousness. I dare not trust the greatest strength, but only in Jesus' name. For Christ, the Son of God, has done all other things. That's it. We have a program that is my hope is here on nothingness. My hope is here on nothingness. And Jesus Lord and righteousness. I dare not trust that to keep a faith.
Thank you.
from. We know all other lands, they are still facing many, many abilities, and they appear as if they were mountains, but they stand before our very eyes. One more time this night, we want to reaffirm that our hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' love and His righteousness. Even in these religious times, in these days, when the love of many has grown cold, when all kinds of false teachers have gone into the world, when many are threats into churches, into services, seeking their own private personal agenda, when many are seeking to establish their own kingdom rather than the kingdom of our Lord, we still want to declare on Christ the solid rock we stand. All other grounds, they are sinking sand. Lord, thank you. Thank you for 50 years of this fellowship. Thank you for the things you did and your kingdom. Thank you for several of us that you allowed us to drink from this particular stream, and it has set our lives on course. It has placed us in the direction on the pathway that we have never found reason to regret. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for several things that you have done. Lord, memories, very, very serious memories come to us as we come back like this. We think of those days and the things you are doing in our lives. They look very, very consequential, but you are deliberate. You knew what you are doing with us. You said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you an expected end. We didn't know the end to which that was going to go. But here today, looking back, as our Father in the Lord was looking back 50 years, some of us are looking back 34 years, and we are saying, you are doing us well. We have every reason to say thank you. Be thou honored, be thou exalted. Be thou exalted in the midst of your people. Lord, for the current students, members of ICU, that are saying, so these men all came through here, and yet you want to know that eyes are not seen, ears are not heard. It has not entered into the heart of any man, for God has determined and given his soul for those who love him. Lord, we thank you for good old days, for we know better days are here. Better days lies ahead. And we are just asking, Father, that we will all reach forth unto that which lies ahead. We will rest unto that which is of the highest price of the call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, give your help some of us. In those years, we are sure that we will have several of the children even today. What you did with us, you can do not just that, you can do much more. And so, Father, we are trusting you that as we celebrate 50 years, to us, in the climax, for our brothers and sisters in the new beginning, and I ask God that you will take this fellowship on the higher heart. You will take us beyond our wildest imagination. You will carry us beyond our history. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Please be seated, and the Lord bless you. I'd like to believe it's overwhelming to again stand here after 7 years and for us to look at one another and our Father who have been at the very beginning of all of this. We thank God for keeping you alive also. The Lord will continue to stand in you. When you see someone who has walked with God consistently for years, for 50 years and above, then you know that there's something in this world, right? Isn't it? And it keeps remaining fresh and strong. We can't take sorrow for granted. And I've met several of our colleagues who have passed through this place for many years. And when we start telling the story, start telling of the woods, start telling the story of several things, and what God did in our lives, particularly, you will not be saying thank you to the Lord. And I see so many of our brothers that I have not met for many years, and I only want to say thank God for every one of you. We praise the Lord for how He has led us and what He has done with our lives, and even people that have moved on in different directions. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for those that God has called home, who have gone to rest, and we know that if they had opportunity to have ministered to us, they would have said, what God taught us has brought us to where we are in glory. Those who live from that path, praise the Lord. Now, during this mission, even though there are many, many memories that we should have intended, even though there are so many, many things that were good that we should be talking about, and this meeting has just been an historical meeting, everybody is standing up and saying, in our own days. But I felt God, though it does not discard our history, it does not discard our history, and it's very important never to put away our history, and also put aside the landmarks that our fathers have set, so that we can know where we're coming from. But I must say to you, our history is good, but our history is already history. Is that okay? And where we are now, we must do something beyond history. We must move forward. And so as we are looking at the beginning of the time, there are few issues I felt God will have me penetrate with you as we talk that passage again. Thank God for understanding who has been dealing with the scripture all along. And because I did not have the privilege of sitting down to take my notes and discuss this, I'm trusting that the Spirit, who is master, who has guided us over the years, to regain this form. If I repeat some of what he said, there's no problem in our lives. That is to go where we need on the same street. Is that right? If I say some of what he said in another way, it is not the problem. It is because we are being led by the same Father. And who wants us to get all that He has added for us this evening from different sides and different angles by the grace of God? Now I'd like you to turn to that passage that we read, Ephesians chapter 5. Our new text has been taken from that verse 16. Our intent is taking on a 16. But for me to be able to set the context of what I think God will have us doing, I would like you to please take it from verse 14, verse 15, verse 16 up to verse 18. But I read it up to 18, 14 to 18. Wherefore, he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Best of them, may God increase unto his word as we look at it together in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, even though I have taken that passage from verse 14 to 18, the wider context of that passage is the entire book of Ephesians. The entire book of Ephesians will have given us a wider context, because chapter 5 is only what a chapter of a long letter. And there were issues that have been discussed deliberately and systematically from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, up to chapter 4, before we came to this chapter 5. And it was all a build-up. They were not a deteriorated thoughts. Each of it was building on another. So sometimes when we come on a passage like this, we say, redeeming the time for the day that are living. If we will not set it in wider context, we can say anything with it. It is all right to say anything with it, but we will not understand what God is particularly saying about that. So the wider context of that scripture is the entire Ephesians that begins from chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. I'm going to do a quick panoramic analysis of the wider context, and then I will come to deal with a particular context, which is chapter 5 itself, that builds up to that verse 14 down to verse 18. And some of you may not even know that chapter 5 verse 14 begins in verse 18, where I saw. You will notice that I only stop in verse 18 because the passage itself is not from the full stop. We are coming to James. We will notice that we will tell it was the semicolon. I semicolon, so even though it is a thought you can choose, but I have many other things to say, which is not a continuation of this. So you will notice that redeeming the time will have something to do even with your marriage. Are you hearing me? It will have something to do with how you conduct, you know, your relationship with your wife. It will have something to do with your children and parenting. It will have something to do with the way we walk in our offices, in our businesses. So there are no instructions. Which was a container of the passage that we wanted to study. So, when by the grace of God, we have been able to spell out what we are looking for, the practicality of redeeming the time is not set in an abstract form. Are you hearing me? The practicality of redeeming the time is not something that just okay, this I should redeem time, I should redeem time. No, there are things to do. There are practical things that you will submit yourself and begin to respond to by the grace of God. But this passage, because it is located in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, has a clear address. It's not a letter that is written without an address. And maybe that may form the beginning of our understanding of what do we do. Now you will notice in chapter 1 that the letter was addressed. Look at the address. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to which people? To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Friends, if we are talking about redeeming the time to someone who is not faithful in Christ Jesus, if we are talking to someone who has not even found his journey in Christ Jesus, and we are telling him redeem the time for the days are evil, find out what God wants you to do. Don't you think that we are putting a higher syllabus for that man? Because the first thing God wants anybody who is not in Christ to do is to repent. Is that okay? Is to find yourself properly located among the saints. Those that are faithful in Christ Jesus. And this letter is very important because God was looking at a class of people, brothers and sisters, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be faithful? To be consistent. To lay hold of the faith and never to let it go. Those, whether in summer, in winter, in sunshine, in rain, what they have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, they have refused to exchange it. They have refused to let it go. They have refused to sell their birthright. They have refused to be like Esau, who, because he was under pressure, sold his birthright for a mess of purpose. This kind of people that we are addressing, and we are totally going to help us to identify with them, they are people who, having said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, having said, Lord, I want to follow you, they have pressed on to keep following. Hallelujah. Now, these people we are talking about, they were those who are according to God's message. They have been brought into the adoption of Jesus. That is, they were not just visitors in God's house. They have become God's own children. God has put inside of them the spirit of adoption. The spirit by which they cry, Abba, Abba, Abba. These are people that God did not just decide to bless them with one time blessing, but God has decided to share himself with them. He said, I will be a father to you, and you will be my son, and you will be what? My God. Now, I don't know how to say that very quickly because I'm just doing the wider context before I get to where we're going. But I found that there's something
that is very, very important that must underlay your response onto the issue of making the most of your time. Many people will misuse their opportunities when they don't know the value of it. Are you ready? Many people will throw away something precious because they don't know the value of it. They take it for granted because in their mind it doesn't mean much. But if you look at the inheritance in the week God has brought us, God said, I will be a father to you. And the Bible says, they give their children. Then we are what? We are heirs. What touches me, and I am so overwhelmed for 10 years, is that God is not just making an object of sympathy that you can just dash some help once in a while. You know, it's possible that God is so benevolent in this very beginning, isn't it? He can even dash you the good things. But what God decided to do, which I have continue to recognize, is the greatest thing, and I don't want to miss it, is that he brings me his child. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song in those days. What makes you happy? What makes you happy? And our answer was, Jesus has saved me, and he has made me the child of God. The greatest thing, like Baba just said now, is not to have money, is to be a Christian, is to be a child of God. And for some of you, if I tell you that the biggest thing for me is not just to be a Christian, it's just to be a Christian. It's the greatest. The greatest thing is that I have been taken out of the place. Not just that God decided to help me. God decided to take me. What? The same. There's no plan. There's no plan. But in our wider context, there are talking of men that have this privilege of adoption. We are talking of me that have the grace of redemption. We are talking of me who God has put a seal of ownership upon them and has given us a guarantee of an inheritance by giving us the Holy Spirit and the will. We are talking of people who not because of struggles, who not because they are working hard and struggling, but by the grace, men and women that God has quickened and he has lifted far above principalities and power and has given us a seat with Jesus Christ. Now, some of these issues, they cannot be quantified. We can't talk about money. I don't know what to put that a small man like me, I am living and walking and going up and down, and Satan is looking at me from afar and say, this one, this boy, I will deal with him, but you cannot deal with him. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's just because maybe some of you don't know what colleagues that are not in Christ, what they are going through. Some of them are going from one man to another, from one prayer mantle to another prayer mantle, from one abundance to another. These men that you think they were restless. Me, I sleep anytime I like.
because God gives us the knowledge. I go and do it. If they say some preachers and leaders are busy inside the room, that's when I go and sleep. Do you know why? Because he that keepeth himself, neither sleep nor slumber. God couldn't be giving and I'm also giving a preaching. No! It's not like that. I just sleep. And that's what I've done for all these years. And God. Now, I don't know what to do to pay for that. Do you know anything you can use to pay for that? Eh? Brothers and sisters, I wish to talk to you. You know anything you can do that can give a man the kind of rest that I have enjoyed continuously for many years? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, these people to which this letter has been addressed, he says, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are talking about fellow citizens, those that are built upon the foundations of the apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you come to chapter 3 of that Ephesians, and he was talking about the kind of things that have been made available to us. He said, in fact, what God has done is that the principalities and powers, the wicked spirits of the universe in the heavenly places, they may come to learn their lesson as they see the manifold wisdom of God manifesting through ordinary men and women like me and yourself in the church. Hallelujah. Now, why am I giving you this instruction? I need you to say so that I can set a context for the resources that we are looking for, especially at this time. Especially for each one of you, especially for our alumni, all our brothers and sisters who have passed through this place, who remember the labor that the Holy Spirit brought on us, who remember all the prayers that we prayed and the things that God taught us, and the way God particularly showed himself in our lives. No one will be not know the left from the right. So by the time we are now coming to chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, to me, Ephesians chapter 4 was actually the beginning of what now was called the chapter 5, verse 16, I want to read. And so, permit me to ask you now to go to Ephesians chapter 4. So, you say, how are we going to start from chapter 4 and meet you where we're going? Don't worry, go with me, because it's the name of Jesus. He said, I am therefore the prisoner of the Lord. Beseech you, I beg you, that you do what? To reward one day for the vocation wherein you are called. You see, the word therefore, at the beginning of chapter 4, was referring to chapters 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. If you have understood chapters 1, 2, 3, the kind of inheritance, the kind of power, the kind of glory, the kind of provision, the kind of privileges that God had made available to us because we are in Christ Jesus. You now say, brother, I beg you, walk worthy of this vocation
that you have received from the Lord. This call with which you have been called is a glorious call. It's not ordinary. It's not a bad thing to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Being a Christian is not just that we are clapping hands. Being a Christian is not just that we are carrying Bible up and down. Being a Christian is to be heard, is to be seated in the heavenly realm with Jesus Christ. It's for God, to share with you His own inner things. So what was it? So it is from this chapter 4 verse 1 that all the issues that builds up to chapter 5 are built. When you have time, praise the Lord, I would like to invite you to do your personal study on this as I now go ahead. Now, he says, I don't want you to do something that is not befitting the vocation wherewith you have been called. And then he began to note all that God has called us into, and all the gifts, all the ministry, all the way God has provided people and all of it. So by the time you come to chapter 4 and 17, you come and meet another therefore. Can you say another therefore? He said, this I say, therefore. And I testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of the mind. Am I communicating with you? Are you following? He said, look, because of the way God has shown you this, because of what God has done in your life, because of what God has offered you, because of the provision, the power, the glory that has been made available to you in Christ Jesus, henceforth, from now on, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Then there is that anybody who is not a Christian, and the Bible is about to be that data, there's something about his mind, his what? Is full of vanity. What the majority of our colleagues in the world, what they are providing with is vanity. What excites them is vanity. What they are dancing about is vanity. What they are excited about and they are talking about, and you think they are doing something, when you look into it, honestly speaking, it is vain. It has no depth. It has no value. Praise the Lord. So he said, henceforth, just know that those things that the devils are doing, you don't have anything to do with it. And he gave all this instruction, all this instruction until we came to the end of chapter 4. Now, you read another therefore in chapter 5. Did you see another therefore? Eh? You don't ordinarily use the word therefore if there's nothing there before. Am I right? Yes, now you do. You have not made any statement and said therefore. You say for what? That's the question. So, you see, all the places where we are meeting therefore, it is because there's something there upon which we go to ask. So you now came to chapter 5 and now say, therefore, we followers of God as their children. And then we build on that, build on that, build on that, build on that. We build on that until we now came to that 14, where we're starting our discussion. Did you see that? But so he also begins what? Another death. That was why it was difficult for me to start talking about this. Because all the verses
things we want to talk about in this meeting, they all began with wherefore. Which means there was a reason for the Holy Spirit to be leading this issue. And if you be there, if you don't understand the reason why you need to ask different, why you need to maximize your opportunity, why you need to begin the time. Wherefore, he says, I will. Tell that the next. Arise from the dead and Christ shall do what? Shall give you life. See then. Again, you see that the word then is also building on the issues we have been coming back from. Isn't it? So, permit me now to spend a little bit segment of what I intend to share between now and tomorrow. Let me share, let me spend that time here, and then I will meet you before I get too far here. Because of all that God has invested, because of what God has offered you, because of what Jesus Christ has done to bring you out of the many ways in order to make you a partaker of his own nature, and for you to be able to speak together with him, where the power of God is made available for you to act upon it on a regular basis. The only thing I say, therefore, for this reason, brothers, those of you that are sleeping, do what? Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from death, and Christ shall give you life. Yes, for this. If you were to define what does it mean to sleep? Sleep is a state of unconscious. Mara, you never sleep until you became unconscious. Am I right? If you have only 2 minutes, you may be driving your car and you sleep off. When you sleep off, even driving, what has happened to you at that time? You are unconscious. Sleep is that point of equilibrium where every thought stops at that time. You know that as long as you are thinking, you are not sleeping. How many of you know that you can't sleep when there is still one thought going on in your mind? Sleep is not possible. When you are sleeping now, you will suddenly see that the thing you are holding tightly, what happens to it? So the question when you say, oh, thou that sleepest, what is God talking about? The state of unconsciousness of the reality of the challenges on your hand. You are sleeping when you are no longer able to lay hold of the things that you are precious to you. You are sleeping when your mind is no more active for the issues of the kingdom of God. You are sleeping when things that you would never have allowed in your life before, they have now come. And they have their liberty of moving
anyhow in your life. And there is something that tears you off.
Yes, me.
I don't know why you're hearing me. You are sleeping. When the vision that God gave you in your earlier days no longer strikes a chord in your heart, you are sleeping. When the fire that used to burn you have become familiar with it, and nothing moves you again. You are sleeping. With valuable things are dropping out of your hands. I'm not saying you are not going to church. I'm not saying that you are not running up and down. But as far as God is concerned, so this man is beginning to sleep now because he is becoming unconscious of the reality of the treasure that we are placing in his hands. Do you know that a teacher can sleep? Oh Lord, you are not going to be a teacher can be sleep. To the remaining noise on the outside, but then considers him as well as a sleep. Why? Because he has become unconscious of the critical issues of what God is demanding from his heart. He's talking about the care issues. So when God says, therefore, all sleepers wake up. And he was addressing people that they have experienced the grace of God before, they have experienced the power of the grace before, they have experienced the wisdom of God in their life before, but these things are finished. And nothing scattered again. May I ask? The only way to know whether you are awake or asleep is to see how many as well as the dead man. How many things have you lost? Listen to this. Listen. Always listen to me. Comparative analysis may not tell you whether you are sleeping or not. Do you know? Do you know? He deployed electric hand and straw and he gets very well and he said, I don't need your hand. When the floor disconnects from the socket, so the electric hand will get cold immediately. You know, you can see animals from two throats. The only thing that will be happening with time is that you will have to be using force. This thing that you to accept now before now, you have a better than you run it like 5 times, nothing is happening. And when you are told that, what happens? Then your force is moving in force. You have a better than you for now. Am I not? If you tell me, as I put the people out, only to go to the suffer and the servant of the guys and pure. There are some of you who are in the city. Your family has been disconnected. The flaw of the source of the economy power has been disconnected. Who will be more than people? Think our generation is the generation of people that honestly speaking, they are just impressive. Anything impressive them. Someone come up to say to them, hallelujah! They will say, I believe.
He's going to say, ah, hallelujah. God is going to say something to this. God is going to say something to this. He said, what are you saying with me? You are not saying to me. You don't know what God is saying. You don't know what God is saying. But you are really saying to me. What happened in our own time? So God is going to say something to this. And until when God says, even when you finish speaking, you will shake your head, shake your head, shake your head, you say, no, you won't accept your own business. Nobody can believe what is reverend, reverend, doctrine, the whole world is gone. No? That means he said, it's not the fact. We lie. And you cannot say, I've been sorted, even with one in the Bible. God is not in the Bible. No president of IPTV in those days came and got to go on the floor. His president has okay, but we are also there. So when he says something is okay, then come to the Bible. So sometimes our meetings can be very violent. Sometimes we are meeting for 5 hours in our president executive. And what is it because he has said something that we cannot put in the Bible? And this one will really stand there. You think we are Bible study secretary for all of us that are Bible study secretary? Nobody is too smart. You can't just come and say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody is not there. I have to say, glory to God. So you see, when you are talking to preach to all, if you are not with your Bible very well, and you are talking a passage that is not in the Bible, somebody will be able to get the wrong reference, wrong reference. But here we are now. So we have an impressionable group of people who they don't care to know where the man is talking from. So it is possible for you to sleep through such a noise. You can be asleep, even though there is noise. Because nobody is helping you to check whether your blood is still contacted with the subject. Friend, can I ask you, are you sleeping? Are things dropping out of your life that you are not able to articulately explain? Challenges that are pointing at something that is getting omitted in your work with the Savior. So he said, wherefore he says, O sleeper, awake, awake. The thing that God has put in our lives is too much. Don't let it get lost. Don't lose it. Don't throw it away. And if I tell you my personal testimony is this, the things that God did to us inside this chapel, the things that, you know, some of us in our days, we came here. Some of us will take a corner there. And for hours, we are just waiting on God. On any ordinary day you came to the chapel, you see somebody there, you see somebody there, and it doesn't just say, the sign that you are praying in those days, I'm going to come and see the paper. And then you hold your life, you are coming. Yes. We don't know what it is. We don't see that there is a contact of God. Some of us will carry ourselves to the village. Just to do an episode from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. One episode. We are done with it. When we finish praying, we stop and go to the bush. I just met a baby. We went to meet one another one time and so they said that we are not going to finish my course, I'm doing it, I'm doing it. I don't see so much. I said, finish it up and finish it. Now, what are we talking about? What is possible that in these days of imprisonment, people who stay is not good for anything. You will sleep and you will not know. So I'm asking, in view of what God has brought to you, all sinner, where?
Hallelujah.
You know, as I read that picture, I went all sinner. The only person that I remember they shouted this time to
was a man of God.
You remember the man of God?
Jonah. You don't remember.
Jonah was a great prophet. God was teaching him when the prophet died, he came to power. But I don't know what happened to Jonah. That God said, arise, go to that great city and do what? Cry against it. And the man of God rose up. Instead of taking him, he was taking pass. And as he was going to pass, many things happened. He went down the door. As he went down the door, by the Bible said, he found a sheep. And I thought that for God to confront him, they are way more sleeper. I realized that it was not when they were shaking to wake up that he started sleeping. When did he start sleeping? When he came from midday and he was going to pass. When he meets the direction of the will of God for life, when he has forgotten what God was having to do and he was going to pass. Well, may I tell you, maybe you are going on. Let me tell you two things that you are going on. Number one, maybe when he goes down to Europe, he looks for a sheep that is going to pass. And there was none. Huh? If there was no sheep going to pass, what will happen? You are like, maybe God doesn't want me to go there. That's not the excuse. For there was a sheep. When he was going down to Bati, there were more sheep to pass. And some people will flee simply because they found a sheep. Going in the direction that they are going, and somebody tells them, you are not to go. Maybe some of you don't know that something is beginning to slip out of your hand simply because there is a sheep. And I'm saying, what is that sheep? It will be delivered. You know, when we are going to those places, and we went to the farm, different areas have different needs. Have you? This morning, we're going to go all of us. And you just need to join us just to show that you're doing the process. And since we know sometimes, we see that the city is among the classes, that the city is the place of people need, in relationship. Some of you enter into a ship called relationship. It could be friendship. Is it also a sheep? They are not talking to me. Is friendship a sheep? They said. It could be courtship. Eh? Is courtship a sheep? It could be partnership. Is it a sheep? Is that okay? It could be scholarship. They are telling me some of you got scholarships that when the man started getting started. The scholarship. They didn't want to solve the matter that they did not solve. God was able to some of you, may be fellowship. It is there are fellowship nowadays that will get you sleeping without you knowing. Am I right? The fellowship is there, well, say fellowship. Then fellowship. Now I won't fellowship. I wonder what this is, where that is to go. So you see, this man left the cause before they say. And for some of us, the speech is harsh. You have a very terrible harsh. And your head is in the room. Then you do something with yourself now. You have speech too much. As you join that shit, you hold up. I don't know what this is. But you know. And nobody needs to talk too much. You know this is. So, when God is a machine, he made it. He made it. The other thing that he has is not money to do what? To pay. There is a need for pay. And because it will pay, and the Bible says, definitely the chief, what did they do? He went down. He went down below death. When he got down, he lay down. In the midst of luggage, there's a man that has fire of anointing and say, he's now sitting in the midst of bad and bad. So when God was looking for how to wake him up, let me inform you, God just wanted to wake him up. And everything God has said to wake him up, God said, okay, I'll get his son. And when the sun began to flow, I was surprised that this brother is here. Everybody's work will never be. Those that don't have God to God, they were going to get out. Oh, my mother! Oh, my father! Oh, my God! Oh, my husband! This man was sick. Oh my God. When they try everything they try, they found an answer. Then they were sad. You know they were carrying all the heavy levels. They were going, to lightly to be this. So who needs to put this level? There was this love. They were about to tell you. When they realized they were not there. What are you doing here? Oh, sleeper! What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why can't you call on your God for us? Wake up! Where are you from? What? What's your name? What's your country? What's your job? What's your profession? Hey! Look at the child of God. Look at the church. Look at the prophet. Look at the city set on a hill that should never be hit. You have to ask him, what's your profession? Where are you coming from? Or what situation are you? What's your name? Where are you from? Where are you coming from? What's your name? Many questions. I feel like some of us for us that we are not in the midst of the time. When anybody suddenly knew that you are in attitude, they say, yeah! You didn't want in that kind of situation. In fact, and people was our first night. What is it? How can you go through this way? And somebody needs to know and find out your identity.
He said, yes. My name is Debo Amita. I don't want to tell you the mistake. So I know you know one of them. What is the first day time for doing the new person for Amazon? So when I go to the world, I sound of the living God who made the heaven and the earth, who created the sea and the sun. You mean that your papa created all this? You mean you know him? You have sought a relationship with him and you are not listening to him. So you see, when the Bible says, we are all sinners, it is because of something in you. Something glorious. Something that we cannot take for granted.
You know what Jonah was thinking?
No.
I'm not going to talk to you.
Why?
I know it's because of me that this problem has something. Me, I need to get bored of you. If you want this thing to stop, tell me. And throw me into the sea. Salvation is required for me. And me, I need.
You know why we need to start dealing with things? It's the moment. You won't understand what it means to make hope, to redeem the past. If you don't, keep your baby at it. Let me ask you, is anybody who is sleeping who knows that? Let's talk together. Let's talk. You are saying, your team are saying, you also know man. If you are saying, somebody is dreaming and it is reality. At this level, no, you are saying, it's not true. Those who are sleeping are not living man. So that's why. The practicality of redeeming time is consequent of the fact that you are awake. I don't know what you're talking about. So before you say redeeming time, when you are ready to sleep, no! A sleeping man doesn't know time. It is only when you go to say, ah, I'm not. Jonah was sleeping. They asked him, pray the Lord and say, no, not ready to pray. His prayer will have changed everything. I hope not. But he was not ready to pray. Some of you have been trained in a very, very effective prayer life. Some of us, we saw the power of prayer. But this day was here. Do you know what you told us to do and say, speak me, all of you, be down there. My God is the one that sends songs. I will talk to you now and he will stop. What do you think all of them will do? He will just fall down. So what did you want to do? Actually, the problem that has happened is because I was supposed to go to Nineveh. I will definitely join the ship. Going to touch. That's why God is annoyed with all of you because you are carrying in the wrong So, chief conductor, chief mariner, you know what to do? Come. Best man brought me where? In me. How can you brought me in the day? You are going there. What will you do? Please don't drop this man. And even as soon as you come, you know that what will happen is that the storm will have stopped. And they will have said, wow, we have carried a man today. Whose God is so active that you can stop. You will have combated it. Am I right? A sleeper waits for opportunity. A sleeper will never maximize the grace that God has given. If receiving is that because if you don't read the word to give it to time, if you don't read it in intent, if you receive it from other persons, you didn't use the word to give it. It says, make the most of your opportunity. If to make the most of opportunity is what we want to talk about, a liver with opportunity. A liver does not maximize any opportunity that God gives you. A sliver will wake it and let it go. The grandmother of your personal. These people, they say, oh God, we don't want to know. And we don't want to offend you. This man said, we should throw him in the water. How can we do that? Oh God, help us. They pray to God that they see you. A preacher is there to have told them about God, you will not know. Wasted opportunity. So if you don't keep their own sacrifices the way they not to be, you know what's going on. So when they carry the luggage, they carry the list, they carry the list, you are trying to think, God, how can we go to this man to work like this? Do you know what was happening in the ship that was in the river? There was a revival, but revival that has not been taught with the word of God. And Jonah thought that he would just close his eyes. And his sleep will just strengthen him to feed him, and he told him that just die. He just said, no, God. God has told one thing, and said, you, God, there is a weak man that is coming in front of you. For the next 3 days, no sleep for him, no food for him, no relief for him. Just carry them in the trouble. He was inside the time of the what was God doing to break up a sleep? Thank God. God gave a second chance to people. He gave you another a second chance. When he said, oh God, I will make my vow. God now said, yes. Please, come and call me back. Take me to the meeting. When you get to the meeting, the rest of serving and serving on your own. I'm only praying that the sitting wait on the world will have to cast you out before you wake up to the reality of the grace of God in your life. Amen. Amen. Now, because the Holy Spirit is saying, arise from the dead and Christ will give you life. So, verse 16 and 16 will be the last point I want to make as an introduction to that passage. You know, all I've done tonight is to check the context, to set the ground, so that when we begin to strike, I say, go and do it. Go and make the most of the opportunity. Don't place the hand of the dead. Don't place all that is good in your life. There will be a basis for you. So leave us 15 and 16, and I will stop. Because I intend on the praying name of that, and we shall be wrong from there. Ephesians chapter 5, the now reading verse 16. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as a wife, but what? But as a wife. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wives. What the Jews are doing is very exciting, circumspectly.
And what this simply means is that every step there can you give respect. Before you start calling, can you respect? Are you understanding? What it means that before you put yourself, can you check? Where am I telling you? This thing I want to do now, does it take me in the direction of God's will for my life? This job that I want to send you now, does it carry me in the direction of the divine hope for which I have been set apart? This is she I want to introduce you. As a teacher, call it anything you like, but you know this. This relationship I'm about, is it a shift in the direction of God's will for my life? It's a shift. This friendship that I'm about to build, is it a friendship taking me to where God was in for my life? So when it's a season that you walk circumspectly, that before you begin to take a path, do what? Inspect it. The passage that will have made that easier for you will be Proverbs chapter 4. When you take Proverbs chapter 4 and you move from verse 25-26 to what then? He says, guard every step you take. Brother Paul said in verse 1, he said, "Little brother, I am not sacrificing." Is that what he says? He says, "I don't weigh my conscience. Every step I take must count towards the fulfillment of the reason why I have been captured by God." He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly. You carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. Because the days are near." Are we together? Now I'm going to stop here. Because when I come back tomorrow, as the Lord will give us opportunity, I would want to be spending time on what are the opportunities that you must maximize in these new days. What are the things that heaven will want you to focus on in these days of dissipation? In this day when it is difficult to maintain the focus, do you know that every average man on earth now is distracted? You don't know. You know that we have come to what they call multitask generation. Then you don't do anything, you don't do one thing at a time. How many students sitting here are actually eating like the people? Can you imagine that we went into the courtroom with those things? And you lock yourself in. You really just read to pass exam. You read to capture the content. But look at you now. You go into the place, your telephone is ringing. After you make serious phone interrupted studies, when your headphone, your ear, there's an ear is here. You are reading it, you know. What is bringing of it? Sometimes you open your computer and you open about five programs. You are checking your mail at the center. You are visiting one or the other here, and then something pops up, some pop-ups. So let me just check that. You see, oh my God. We are called a generation that is designed to be distracted. So the question is this: how am I going to maximize the little life I have so that I can retire? So as I spoke on this for tonight, something God will give us privilege of a different path. We're going to decide how do I maximize my opportunities in these days. I know Abraham would have dealt with the nature of this present time. That's why I'm not going to go into that. I just want to deal with something about how we are going to be at home and how we are going to maximize, how we are going to make sure that before I take it there, I have inspected it. Before I join a ship, I know the direction it is going, and I'm not ready to be carried off my course. I have friends. I have many friends. But God kept reminding me. Your contemporaries are your temporary companies. You are not going to get it. So I move with somebody as long as he is going my direction. Many times I come to Johnson and I see a friend of mine doing what? Branching out. And I politely greet by that. And I go on. I want to ask you as we deal with it tonight. You may be young. I want to tell you that for you, you don't have history behind you. What God has placed before you is your life. And I'm telling you, those of you that are here today, may God give you understanding. You are at the crucial stage of your life where you take trust. It is a choice you make now that determines who you are tomorrow. As I walk in with my wife here, to the glory of God, we've been together for years. We met on campus. She was not the only sister in the fellowship. There were some who were even looking more nice. There are some that say, oh, that's my son, you must come out. And I was all too loyal to them. When God let me care for them, he could see that there, and John is near. You see, if you are going to come, and then you get the station, and you join the one that can do it or not. Oh my God. Do you know that when we get to a job, some of them I understand. It's not that God. We are here going very close, right? So there is no problem. If you are not going to that, for me, I'm going to come out of the center of the house. God said, okay. He's going to go out. Don't let him come on that house. After this, he's not going to let him do it. I think God was very serious to say, you are the one who said, So, brother, you are making choices that will affect you. Those whom we are forgotten today is the choice they live at your age. It is not at my age that I'm going to make a choice. I've already made a choice. I can't change it. I can only give you what I've chosen, if it is correct. For most of them, wake up. Before you join that ship, let's find out where it goes. Is it going in the direction? Is it part of the will of God in your life? I'll ask you to join me as we stand on your feet tonight. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm here to pray because when I finish my prayer, I'm expecting you to pray. I'm expecting you to do something. I'm expecting you to be a desire. Holy Spirit, thank you for 50 years of our history. Thank you for giving testimony of men that you gave us. Men who took a step of faith to convince you, they started, four of them. And it has become something wonderful. You should today know that that little thing was going to produce preachers, produce professors, produce vice chancellors, produce the kind of men that I need to be at your cross. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we don't take for granted. And for our Father and our brother who is here as a connection between us and the past, we give you praise. We thank you, O God, for the way in which you have kept the seed in this fellowship over these years. And we want to return that. For this night, what are we going to do together with our past? In God. We can't have it here. 1960 has passed. We can't have it again. It's gone. 1976 is gone. It cannot be. No, it's not part of the time you are talking to us to redeem. It's finished. The time you are saying we must redeem is the time present and the time ahead of us. Lord, my prayer tonight. And I really just lay it in your hands to watch us. That we will move from heart to heart in this meeting now. And we will strike our spirit. Lord, I thank you for the young lives that are entering ships without knowing the destination. For the young lives that are making choices, very, very critical choices, but without taking cognizance of what is your overall purpose, will you interrupt them tonight? Have you entered into a ship that is going to touch you? Whatever name those ships are. And you know when you send storm into that ship, you will go and rescue yourself. You don't want it to perish. You don't want Jonah to be lost like that. That was why you rescued me. I believe that has been celebrating 50 years. You have brought us to a point where you are saying, 50 years. But what are you going to do about it? Spirit of God, whatever you do to me.